everyone here to the gospel of the grace of God. And I trust there'll be a message for you and for me. We're going to, I know it's a 45-minute gospel, so got to go fast. I'm going to sing. We're going to sing number 9, just the first verse in the chorus. And if there's time, we'll maybe sing the other chorus. So a brother start this, number 9. Lately, I've noticed in particular the many stories, in particular in the Gospels, that bring out how each one of us are lost by nature and we are helpless. And there are many examples of this, that if we were to be saved, it must be a work of the Lord. It says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. It is a work of the Lord in your soul. And you then, by faith, accept Christ as Savior. Let's just look at one example. In Luke chapter 10. And we're not going to go through the whole story. Most of us know it, but yet I'll read it. It says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And perchance there came down a certain priest that way, and he went and saw him, and he passed by on the other side. And likewise the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was and went and saw him and had compassion on him. We know that is a type of the Lord Jesus and his compassion for you and for me. And he sees a need. This man who fell among thieves, what could he do? He couldn't do anything. He was helpless. And you too are helpless. You need the Spirit of God and the Word of God to speak to you. And you, here we see it was a work of this Good Samaritan that took him and brought him in his need, brought him to the inn. Now let's look at another verse. In Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. It says, come unto me. This is the Lord speaking. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Here's an invitation to salvation. Have you heard the invitation? Here it says, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Here is a place of safety, of rest, that you can have, and it's offered to you. Here he is. Dear young man, do you realize you're in trouble? You are. You need to get the life jacket. You need it. You need it for your own good. Notice what we have in Isaiah. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59 and verse 1. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Oh, if this young man would cry for help, he would receive it. But he refuses. He refuses the invitation. Perhaps, why would he refuse it? Why would he refuse this life jacket? Might ask, why would he do it? Perhaps pride. You think you can do it on your own. Are there any in here that have not accepted Christ as Savior? You know, I knew somebody. I picked him up. He was a hitchhiker. And I brought him from Grand Rapids to Detroit. And I had some time talking with him. And I gave him the gospel. And he said, "No, I don't need it. I know some people who really need it, but I don't need it." It just so happens that he was coming from prison. He had served his time and he was going home. He was guilty. The ones that he compared himself were ones, inmates that were in prison for perhaps what he would say would be more bad, evil sin. And I don't need them. Are you refusing? Are you refusing Christ as Savior because you think you're pretty good? Let's look at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse 17. Well, I'll read verse 16. "A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The one said, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Oh, here are these 3 different ones. They had an excuse. Perhaps you've not accepted Christ as Savior because of possessions. You have too much. You don't want to give it up. Like this man here, or the man who had the 5 yokes of oxen, a laborer, a job. If I accept Christ as Savior, I might lose my job. And they would not accept the invitation. And then we had, it says, I have a wife, a relationship. And what happened there? He refused. He refused the invitation to go to the marriage. Oh, I tell you, this young man is in danger. Perhaps he doesn't realize it. But since he was a child, there were things that were recorded in heaven on what he did. I have a list of some things, and they're called sin. Most of these, I don't know if he's really guilty of them. I know I have been guilty of many of these that I'm speaking about. That's why I wrote them down. But here is one sin. It says, you hid your sister's doll and then you lied about it. This represents sin. Another sin, I took your brother's candy. Another weight. I was told to clean my room, but I did not. He cheated on a game. Those are all sins. Those are weights. I was told not to go swimming, but I went anyway. I marked on the wall. I stayed out after the curfew. I told a lie. I got angry. There's more. I hit my brother. This is a big one. I heard the gospel and I said later. I stole some wood so I could build a camp. I took some of my neighbor's grapes. I put down my brother. I hit my sister. As you can see, these are heavy weights. You know, I was talking to two on my way to Congo. There were two people that I just felt the Lord wanted me to speak to them. We were next to each other waiting in the airport and we had a conversation. We started a conversation. And both of these young men were very similar in their position. They said that they were pretty good people. One says, haven't been baptized yet, but I want to. And they told about some of the good things that they've done. And I asked each one of them, I said, what about the sin question? Have you repented? Have you acknowledged that you're a sinner before God, a righteous and holy God? No response. This young man, he refused the gospel. And yet he's still in his sins. He's perhaps in a boat right now. And what would happen if that boat was capsized? Could he keep afloat? I don't think so. He's not that good a swimmer. I know. I myself, when I was a boy, I was on a raft. And a big wave came along and knocked me right off. I went down under the water. And had it not been somebody seeing me, they pulled me out. I couldn't swim. I don't think this young man could swim either. If he were to capsize, what would happen? You know, you see he's on a boat. And around him are the waters of death. And what would happen to him if he were to capsize? He would go under. You know, I knew when my boys were young, I took a field trip overnight to a hotel of third graders. About 40 or 50 third graders. And we went to a hotel, and the hotel had a pool. And the teacher knew that I had been a lifeguard. So they had me be a lifeguard for all these 40 third graders. And the first thing I did when they came in, I said, "Can you swim?" And if they said yes, I said, "You go over here." If they said no, you go over there. So everybody was separated. I asked them that. Then I said, "Okay, for those that said can swim, I want to see you swim the depth of the pool." There was one boy. He got about a third of the way and he couldn't make it. I had to grab him and pull him to shore. I said, "You said you could swim, but you can't. And I wonder, is there anyone in here that said, I am saved, but they're not?" That boy had lied. He was put on the side that had to be on the shallow side, and we had a rope separating him. Then there was another boy who said he couldn't swim. But he went and he snuck to the deep end and he jumped in the water. And I was walking up and down the pool looking in the water, and I saw somebody under the water struggling. I jumped in, pulled him to shore, and I said, "Why did you do it? Why did you jump in the deep?" He says, "I can almost swim." I said, "You can almost swim. You didn't even have your head above the water. You would have drowned had I not pulled you out." Are there anybody in here that's almost saved, but they're not? You're lost. If that boat capsized, if you're like this boy, what would happen to you? you would go down. It's a very serious question that you must answer yourself. What would happen to you? Don't tell me that you've gone to Sunday school for 8, 10, 20 years. That won't help you. I'll tell you something else that won't help you. And that is the law. If we turn, it says in Galatians 3, verse 11. Galatians 3:11, it says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. No man is justified by the law. It also says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11, it says, for every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. Following the law and the ordinances of the law and the offerings is not going to take away your condition of a sinner. We know this young man, he has what he would call good works. And I'm saying that it's his view that it's good works. That's not God's view, because actually it says the plowing of the wicked is sin. But in his mind, he's done good works. Does that do anything for his sinful condition? The answer is no. All your good works, your kind duties that you do. Mother Teresa, many of us know, India. She did many good works. And if she is in heaven, it's only based on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if she's trusting in her works, she will be in a lost eternity. And she will bear her own judgment for all her sins. It must be. You must put faith in Christ. Let's look at a verse. In Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. We read about a publican and a sinner. Publican. And maybe it's a publican. And a Pharisee. Excuse me. But the one thing that the publican said, he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
Help, save me.
Here now what would happen He cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here, notice, you know, it's interesting to take note that it says in Acts that we are to see. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? You know, notice it doesn't say repentance towards the Lord. It's repentance towards God because we have sinned against God. Even in creation, we have sinned. And we are to acknowledge, just like this man, is an example of one who repented. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you done that? Have you accepted Christ as Savior? Now, we know. Now, let's look at another verse in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 28. It says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Oh, here we see that the one who repents, it says, I give unto them eternal life, and they are secure. You know, it says one other verse in Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27 and verse 22. This is about Paul's voyage. And many are familiar with this story. I find it so amazing, but I'm going to read verse 22. It says, you know, this boat, this ship, all the people that were on it, it was going to be broken up. But it says, verse 20, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but the ship only. Here, this ship was going to go down, but everyone is going to make it to shore. What does that speak of? Shore, heaven. And just like we talked about, you shall have eternal life. If something were to happen, he were to fall, and he's saved. Here we have, we know that this young man, if he were to die, if he were to go into the waters of death, he no longer had those sins. But if you were yet in your sins, you know, Scripture speaks of two resurrections. We could turn John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 29. I'll just read. It says, I'll read verse 28 first. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. If you die in your sins, you will be resurrected unto damnations or condemnation. But if you have put your trust in Christ, you no longer have those sins laid on you, but you have eternal life, and you will be part of the resurrection of life. How wonderful it is. You know, notice there's another verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, it says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't have to be afraid of death. We don't have to be afraid of the waters of death, because our sins have been washed away in his precious blood. And we have now eternal life. Eternal life is, when one has eternal life, he now has the ability to appreciate the Lord. He's been given it, eternal life. He has it now, and he will have it in the future. Eternal life. But this offer, the reason it is offered to you, and all those sins are no longer there on him, we read 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he hath made him, that's the Lord Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All those sins, those great weights were laid on the Lord Jesus. And if you know Christ as Savior, you can look and appreciate. You can say, look what he has done. He has paid the punishment, because God is righteous and holy. He cannot just overlook sin. Justice must be performed. So he was able to loose those sins because another has paid. In closing, I'll read Romans chapter 10. Where's that verse? I guess I'll read Romans chapter 9. Romans 10 in verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Oh, here we see that the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. How wonderful it is. God raised the Lord Jesus. And God, because the Lord Jesus, it says he bore our punishment, our sins. But then we read those words, it is finished. The work was completed. Now, God is satisfied with that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And now, we can say we are satisfied as well. Have you put your trust in him? Don't put it off. We don't know if he would have capsized earlier, what would have happened to him? He would have died in his sins and it would have been forever. You don't know. When I was considering the subject, I read story after story of different ones who had a life jacket on and they were saved. Even good swimmers, thinking of one who was sailing and the boom hit his head, knocked him out. But he had a life jacket that saved him. You don't know what a day may bring forth. Put your trust in him. Put the life jacket on. Acknowledge you need him as a Savior and he will save you. It says, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The Lord will not refuse us. You come to him as you are. You can have eternal life. You will be safe from coming judgment.